The Republic of Ireland today is a pretty small country. Its population of a tad more than 5 million people ranks it as only the 26th largest nation in Europe, or the 122nd largest in the world alongside places like Costa Rica or Kuwait. But this small population base punches well above its weight, perhaps more than any other country in the world. Though its population is only the 26th largest in Europe, the Irish economy is the 14th largest, and Irish citizens earn the 10th highest incomes on the continent. The Irish economy is larger and stronger than most bigger nations in the world, as diverse as Nigeria, Romania, Singapore, and Hong Kong. Nonetheless, Ireland should be even stronger and even more developed than it already is. But Ireland, more than any other country in the 21st century world, has a major problem deep within its past that has kept their country from expanding beyond the mere middle power it is in Europe towards the major power that it naturally should be. And that is the fact that Ireland is the only country in the world right now, outside of minor islands and microstates, that has a smaller population today than it did 200 years ago, back in the 19th century. The 21st century Irish are working with a seriously bad historical handicap that continues to limit their island's potential to this day. Take a look at this map. These are the populations of the various countries that made up the United Kingdom 2 centuries ago, back in 1821, when the entirety of Ireland was beneath British administration. Back then, Ireland's population was largely the same as it is today. 6.8 million then, compared to just over 7 million today, when adding in both the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. That might not seem like a really big deal at first thought, but remember that the rest of the world had way, way fewer people back then than it does today. England's population was just 10.4 million then, not that much larger than Ireland's. Egypt's population was only around 4.3 million at the time, compared with over 100 million today, meaning there were more Irish than Egyptians in the early 19th century. And the United States was only home to 9.6 million people at the time, including more than 1.5 million slaves without any citizenship or any rights, meaning there were nearly as many Irish as free Americans. Over the 2 centuries since that census data was recorded, Scotland population increased by a factor of 2.6, Wales's population by a factor of 4, and England's population by a factor of 5.4. But Ireland has barely changed at all, and effectively the same number of people live there now as lived 200 years ago. If Ireland had maintained similar growth rates as the neighboring countries over on Great Britain, like Wales or England, we would expect that the Irish population today would be at least 27 million people or even more, potentially even as high as 36 million. If the growth rate had been the same as England's. Either way, that would have made Ireland the 9th most populous nation of Europe today, rather than the 26th, with a number of people more comparable with Poland than with Israel. But that's not what ended up happening, and Ireland today has a missing population of at least 20 million people, who otherwise would have been here, were it not for one of, if not the, most traumatic events a major country's population has experienced over the past 200 years. Of course, most people know that Ireland suffered from a catastrophic famine in the 19th century, but I'd bet that a lot of people outside of Ireland don't truly understand the sheer scale of that famine's effects through the centuries into the present. In order to understand how the famine happened in the first place, though, and why its effects were so terrible, it's important to understand a bit of the island's history before it happened. You see, for hundreds of years before the Great Famine struck the country in the 1840s, the Irish population was steadily growing at around the same rate as the rest of Europe was at the time. By 1700, the Irish population was just shy of 3 million people, and then it began growing rapidly from there to more than 5 million just a century later in 1800. As the numbers of Irish began to compound throughout the early 19th century, the island's population quickly surpassed even 8 million people by 1840, a record 266% growth rate in only 140 years. The biggest reason why Ireland's population took off so quickly throughout these years was the first introduction of the potato. You see, the potato was a crop indigenous to the New World, and was thus unknown to the Europeans until the 16th century. It wasn't introduced to Britain or Ireland until the late 1580s, but when it was, it changed both islands' demographic profiles forever. The potato yields roughly 3 times the amount of calories per acre as grain, and it's simultaneously more nutritious and grows in more difficult soils and climates, like in Ireland. Ireland became the first region of Europe to cultivate the potato on a large scale in the early 1600s, and it became so successful there, it rapidly accelerated the Irish population's growth rate. A single acre of potatoes and the milk of a single cow was sufficient to feed an entire impoverished Irish family, a boring but nutritionally acceptable diet. And as they could be grown almost anywhere, potatoes quickly became the staple crop for the majority of poor Irish families. But the potatoes' benefits also came with a series of cons. Most catastrophic of them, the Irish began to dangerously increase their dependency on just this one single crop, and worse, a single variety of this single crop, what came to be known as the Irish lumper. This created a serious lack of genetic variability in the potatoes grown in Ireland, which made them far more susceptible to disease. By 1841, the Irish census recorded a population of 8,175,124 people on the island, the highest ever recorded on the island before or since. Just 3 years later, the potato blight came over from the New World to strike down Ireland's primary crop. In 1845, the blight wiped out around a third of the entire potato crop on the island. And then the following year, in 1846, it destroyed nearly all of the potatoes in the country. And with the people of Ireland so massively dependent on this one crop, devastating famine quickly ensued. As Ireland wasn't independent during this period and ruled directly from London, British policies only made the crisis worse. Most controversially of all, London refused to ban food exports that were leaving Ireland for Britain as the famine was ongoing and millions were starving to death. At the same time, tens of thousands of Irish families were denied any form of government relief and evicted from their lands as the famine intensified because of a law that denied anyone who held at least a quarter acre of land from receiving any relief. Ultimately, this law meant that impoverished Irish farmers who had already sold all of their crops to pay their taxes or their rent, or who had seen all of their potatoes destroyed by the blight, were incapable of applying for any government aid unless they also gave up their land. This single British government policy forced nearly 200,000 Irish people off of their lands in just 2 years between 1849 and 1850. Within just a few years of the famine beginning in 1845, at least 1 million Irish on the island had died from starvation and malnutrition, representing around 12% of the pre-famine population on the island. But it wasn't just the deaths from the famine that caused Ireland's population to plummet. It was also the millions of additional people who were forced into becoming refugees and left. As you can see by this graph, emigration out of Ireland skyrocketed in 1845. The first really bad year of the famine, and continued remaining outrageously high from the norm before the famine for a decade through to 1855. Between 1845 and 1855, no fewer than 2.1 million people fled Ireland as refugees in one of the greatest exoduses of an island ever in human history, primarily departing for the United States. So enormous was the Irish exodus towards America during this period that for a solid decade between 1850 and 1860, 81% of all the immigrants arriving to the United States were Irish. And by 1860, more than 6% of the entire American population were Irish, who had recently immigrated over just the past decade. When counting in the additional million deaths across this period, the island of Ireland lost well over 3 million people in just a single decade of history between 1845 and 1855. Representing a total population crash of nearly 38% of the island's people. That percentage represents one of the most apocalyptic losses of people that any civilization has seen since the indigenous peoples of the Americas across the 16th and 17th centuries. For context, across 6 years of the Second World War and after the invasions of both Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union, Poland lost around 17% of their population to deaths. And further, the Polish population managed to recover back to its pre-war levels within just 40 years by 1978. More than 180 years now since 1841, Ireland still hasn't managed to recover its pre-famine population. But the famine affected Ireland in far more ways than in simply numbers. The areas of the island that were most severely affected by the famine and depopulation were in the west and the south, where the Irish language had previously been more dominant over English, the result of these areas being hit the hardest, accompanied by other linguistic policies from Britain, was the rapid destruction of what remained of the Irish language in Ireland over the next several decades, to the point where by 1900, few Irish-speaking majority areas on the island remained, and by 2000, there were hardly any remaining at all. The depopulation of the West and the South also led to the urbanization and increase in population in the East, around cities like Dublin and Belfast, which remain the first and second largest cities on the island to this day. The famine and its traumatic consequences caused permanent structural and cultural damage to the Irish people that continues on to this day. The loss of 38% of the population over just 10 years hobbled development and opportunities, and encouraged higher rates of emigration out of the country for nearly every generation that followed. This meant that even after the end of the famine around 1855, high levels of emigration caused by domestic turbulence, violence, and lack of economic opportunities continued putting downward pressure on the island's population for an entire century longer, deep into the 1960s. Ireland fought a war for independence from Britain after the conclusion of the First World War, followed by an internal civil war and economic instability, and finally a period of ethno-nationalist and sectarian violence over the political status of Northern Ireland that lasted for decades from the 1960s until the 1990s, all of which heavily discouraged foreign investment. Ireland largely remained an agrarian, unindustrialized, troubled, and relatively impoverished island long after the famine's conclusion, and the population continued to decline throughout the decades, largely due to emigration abroad. By 1890, decades after the famine had ended, 4 in every 10 Irish-born people were living abroad beyond the island. And to put it all into even more context, it's currently estimated that roughly 1 in every 2 people born in Ireland across the 19th century would ultimately leave the island for better opportunities abroad. Since 1800, it's estimated that more than 10 million people born within Ireland have emigrated to another country beyond the island. More people than live across Ireland today. Nearly half of those people who left relocated to the United States, where they heavily influenced American culture and society. 36 million Americans today, or more than 1 in 10 Americans, and more than 5 times the population of modern Ireland itself, claim Irish as their primary ancestry. Across the world, around 80 million people claim a degree of ethnic Irish descent. Over time, the preferred destination of Irish leaving the island gradually shifted away from America and closer to home towards Great Britain and primarily around the city of Liverpool. In the 1950s, as the agricultural industry continued to decline on the island, unemployment was high and national incomes had only risen by 8% between 1949 and 1956, compared with an average increase of 40% throughout the rest of Europe over that same period. Young Irish adults coming of age in the 1950s knew that better economic opportunities existed outside of their island in nearby locations like Britain. And so, 500,000 of them left the Irish Republic throughout the 1950s as a result, which constituted a further 16% of the Republic's population leaving in just a single decade. And to compound the problem even further, they were mostly young men and women who would have otherwise started families at home and contributed to a growing population and economy. Ireland ended up becoming the only country in Europe, besides Stalinist-ruled East Germany, to actually lose population during the 1950s. By the time of the Irish census in 1961, the entire island's population was a mere 4.25 million people. Just a little more than half of the population seen 120 years previously at the peak of 1841, immediately before the famine, and the lowest number recorded ever since the census of 1781, nearly 2 centuries beforehand. Only after then did the island's population finally begin to recover and trend back upwards after more than a century of continuous decline. To the point where today, in 2022, the island's population is back to around 7.1 million people, which is still around 1 million people short of the peak more than 180 years ago, and probably at least 20 million people short of where Ireland would have been today without the famine ever taking place. But with so much room left to grow after being held down for so much time, Ireland has only one direction left to go. up. Today, the Republic of Ireland is one of the fastest growing economies anywhere in the world. The Irish economy is currently the fastest growing in Europe, with a whopping 13.5% increase to GDP last year in 2021, nearly double the economic growth experienced by the United Kingdom. When factoring out small city-states like Monaco, Ireland now holds the highest GDP per capita in Europe as well, with the average citizen contributing more to the economy than even famously wealthy nations like Switzerland and Norway. And, perhaps most importantly, the Irish population is now the third fastest growing on the European continent, remaining only behind the small countries of Luxembourg and Cyprus, and, once again, roughly double the population growth rate currently seen in the United Kingdom. If Ireland's growth rate is capable of continuing at this current pace for the foreseeable future, then the island may finally reach its pre-famine population again by the late 2030s, around 2037, almost exactly two centuries after the famine began. And from there, Ireland can only continue looking forwards. For my entire life, I've always loved maps. Every video I've ever created on this channel has been based around telling an interesting story or arguing a point through a series of maps. And a big reason behind the success of this channel has been my ability to do both of those things effectively. There's a lot of techniques that are objectively useful when designing maps and using them to tell your story. So, I've gathered together everything I've learned throughout my life, both by studying international security and diplomacy while at college, and doing this on YouTube for the past 6 years, and made a talk about all of it that I've released on Nebula, and it's called Going Viral with Maps, where I'll tell you exactly how to design your own maps and thumbnails that'll generate interest and views online. And not only did I make this talk, I made an entire online talks and classes platform. Myself, my co-founders, and the amazing management, production, and engineering teams behind Nebula have been working for the past year to bring you our platform's largest expansion to date, Nebula Classes. We know that a lot of you want to learn more and in more detail from the educational creators you already watch. So this is the best platform for that. In addition to my talk, there are already classes from other creators you probably already know, like Sam from Wendover Productions, Devin from Legal Eagle, Amy Nolte, Loria Petrucci, Patrick Willems, and others, and there will be new ones every single week. Each of them are incredibly well-produced, with creators having flown out to a dedicated studio to ensure a consistently high quality. Normally, full access to all of Nebula classes is $149 a year, but when you use the code and link down in my description, you can get the full year for 20% off at just $119. And that includes all of the over 10,000 videos and original content created by the curated list of more than 150 other Nebula creators already. However, if you're a longtime real-life lore viewer and you've already signed up for Nebula for content like my Modern Conflict series, including through the Curiosity Stream bundle, it's just $99 a year to upgrade to classes or $8.25 a month. Click the button here on screen now, or head to the link down in the description to sign up, and you'll be supporting Real Life Lore and loads of other independent educational creators while you're at it. And, as always, thank you for watching.